Welcome to Beyond Grit, the podcast that seeks to create and foster a community of people who want to learn, develop, and employ the 10 powerful practices to gain a high-performance edge. Whether you're an athlete, a parent, a coach, or just someone looking to improve yourself, the Beyond Grit podcast shows you step-by-step how to reach your peak potential. The Beyond Grit podcast is based on the book Beyond Grit, written by Sindra Kampoff, PhD, founder, and CEO of Mentally Strong Consulting, and a professor at Minnesota State University, Mankato. Sindra, a keynote speaker and entrepreneur, is also a certified mental performance coach for professional athletes, executives, and championship teams from around the nation, including the NFL's Minnesota Vikings. Sindra's co-host is Tim McNiff, Emmy Award-winning news and sports journalist, strategic communications consultant, and storyteller for the National Sports Center. This is the Beyond Grit Podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Beyond Grit Podcast, Episode 4. This is Tim McNiff alongside Dr. Sindra Kampoff. The Beyond Grit Podcast is based on the book Beyond Grit, written by Dr. Kampoff. And what we aspire to do is build a community of people, whether you're an athlete, a coach, a parent, or just someone who wants to reach their peak potential, we want to help you learn and employ step-by-step the 10 powerful practices that Sindra lays out in Beyond Grit to gain the high edge performance. And Dr. Kampoff, Sindra, in the world of podcasts, no time has elapsed since the last time I talked to you. But as we pull back the curtain, we have been texting. We have been contacted by email. But I haven't talked to you in a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I've had some great couple of weeks. I have lots of keynoting last week, actually, and then this week I was with Consolidated Communication and their executives for 3 full days, like 9 to 4. And this morning I was in Eagan. One of the things I did is I gave a workshop to their high school coaches about mental training and mindset and these 10 practices. So I've been busy, and I know you've been busy. What have you been up to?
Same sort of stuff. You know, as we go about this, in real time, the podcast just launched for us just days ago. And so been using that social media and letting people become aware of that and gratified by the feedback I've gotten and the number of people that have seen it. And the thing I think that I really want to really push out to people is, and I don't think maybe I've done that yet, but I will going forward. And if you're listening for the first time, welcome to the community, but this isn't just some sort of a self-help book. What got me so excited about it was it really is a toolkit. And if you just follow along and take this in, it's like even this past week, I found myself more than once thinking of the title of the chapter that we're going to revisit. You know, difficulties happen for you. It's reframed my thinking. Whenever I start kind of sulking a little bit and saying, oh my God, this is, and they think, no. It's happened. Now what are you going to do with it? Yeah. Now what are you going to make of it?
Love it. Love it. I've been doing that this week as well. And I think what's refreshing about taking that perspective, like how is this happening for me, not to me?
Right.
You don't feel like a victim. You feel more like a creator in charge of your own life and in charge of your perspective, and you can see the good that even comes from the bad, because there's always something good, but it's just about our mental discipline to see that perspective.
And this is really helping, honestly, get to that point faster. I hear myself talk, and nobody likes everybody can feel sympathetic to a victim, but if you play that role too often or you stay there too long, people will like shun you, and you won't even like yourself. So this is a great way to get past this and get moving on. So we hope that you listen to the first 3 episodes. And in episode 4, this is the process. We catch up, and then we tell you a little bit about the book. The book has 10 practices that Sindra has outlined throughout, and it is comprised of 52 chapters. So we do this on a weekly basis, how we release the podcast. So we're going to hopefully have you on a year journey, or if you're just encountering this content, heck, you could listen to 10, 12 a day and be done with it in less than a week. Whatever works for you, right? But chapter 3 was difficulties happen for you. And the homework you assigned was a combination of the second and third options in the high performance game plan, which you put at the end of every chapter. And those options were to think about how a problem or difficulty you'd experienced in the past happened for you and not to you, and take at least one problem you're experiencing right now and view it as a puzzle to be solved, and to consider if that changes your perception of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were talking about, you know, how can you see these difficulties that happen, how can you see them as really like things that you can solve, and that helps you be more creative instead of like the why me mentality. Because everybody experiences obstacles. It's just about how you take those in and how you process them, and if you let them linger or not.
Do you ever still find yourself, I mean, I know one of the things you do is you plan. You're a planner, and we'll get into a little bit of that in this chapter, this next chapter, chapter 4. Mm-hmm. How detailed do you, like when you're going to go do like a workshop or something like that? I mean, obviously you plan for the workshop, but do you also plan like your self-talk around it?
I have pre-planned self-talk that I just want to say to myself in general when I'm performing, you know, or when I'm presenting. I think for me, what's really important, and I think all speakers would say this, is like, it's really important that I get in my heart and not my head. And so the thing that kind of gets in my own way is like, if I'm thinking, are they liking this? Do they like this? I don't, you know, and then I really have to shut that off and think about what the audience needs and get here instead of here. It's actually something that my dad taught me. I wasn't using it in speaking until I realized, wow, when I'm really overthinking it, or if I'm thinking about what they're thinking about me, that's a barrier. So that's the kind of self-talk that I say, like, this really matters to them. My message matters. Like, this is really meaningful. You know, things like that to help me connect with them.
And it's got to be about in everything we do. That's when people say, like, I get so nervous before I speak. I said, well, first of all, that's because you care and you want to do well. But yes, the quickest way to get rid of that is to don't think about yourself. Just think about them and what you have to say. And if your material or your message is beneficial, you've got to be there, because otherwise you're doing a disservice by not speaking to them.
Yeah. And the thing that we're going to talk about in practice 8 is about authenticity. And people really connect with you when you're just yourself. You know, I didn't realize that. I think when I first started speaking, I was trying to be perfect. But now I realize, you know, it doesn't matter if I say or even today, you know, it's more that I just speak from the heart, and that I think about what I'm, you know, the whoever's listening, and speak right here. And it might not be perfectly sounding, but people won't notice that if you're really just yourself, and that's how people connect with you.
And they connect. They pick it up right away. It's your energy. I get that completely. Okay, should we jump into chapter 4?
Yes.
Dream for a living. And let's talk about just the title first. Tell me about Dream for a Living.
So dreaming for a living actually comes from one of my favorite quotes. It's a quote by Donna Williams, who said, if your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough. And the first time I really talked about this was several years ago, when I was asked to speak in a fifth grade classroom. And so they had, the teacher had read about an article that I wrote in the newspaper. And it was all about thinking big and thinking powerfully. And so she brought me in to talk to the fifth graders. It was super fun. It was great, you know, great energy. And they had lots of great questions.
Great age.
And then the teacher said, Syndra, what's your favorite quote? And I was like, well, if your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough. And I saw her, she was sitting in the back, kind of on this like higher chair, and she kind of like sat back like this, and it almost was like she's going to fall off her chair, you know? And she said, well, Syndra, like, why should they be scary? I don't understand. And I said, well, if your dreams just aren't a little bit scary, you won't be dreaming enough, right? And if you just dream really small, you know, then that's where your potential is going to be. But if you're dreaming just a little bit scary, a little bit out of your comfort zone, a little bit out of your reach, then you're gonna reach your potential. And so afterwards, you know, then I took the other students' questions, but afterwards she came to me and she said, you know, Syndra, like, I'm so grateful that you said that, because she said, I've been doing this job for like 30 years. And she said, I've forgot to keep dreaming. And I think that was powerful for me, because it was like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 18 years old, it doesn't matter if you're 60, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 80, it doesn't matter if you're 50, you have to have something that you're going towards. And that's what grit is really about, is like, what do you want? You need to have goals to keep you excited and keep you motivated and to keep you pushing yourself to reach your best, no matter what age you're at.
So every week, just behind the curtain, guys, I take a look at the chapter, and I put an outline together, which I send to Syndra, it's her book, right? She's got to approve all this stuff. But it's funny because, you know, I laid it out and you took two of the bullet points I had. The second to last one was we tend to think of nightmares as being scary and dreams as being pleasant. Yes. But you flipped it. You flipped the script, encouraging people to be a little scared by their dreams. And you went through that. And another point that I had there was, what role does age play in the ability to dream? And I think it's important for people encountering this thing. So myself, I'm 56, and I'm constantly kind of taken back by people who say to me, you know, you're so much fun to follow because you're always doing new things and you're always trying new things and all the rest of it. Yeah. And I don't, you know, I just want to say to them, yeah, but you should too. You know, there's no off switch. There's no expiration date. I mean, I know what the driver's license says and I know what limitations I run into. I mean, these things, I didn't wear these, you know, all the time and everything. But inside, I still very much feel like I'm 10 years old, you know, and I feel like
wonderful.
I don't want to limit myself or limit whatever. And I wouldn't want others to do that to me either. So I think it's really important that you put those concepts out there. And I would encourage people who encounter this content and these concepts, don't be frightened of them, you know, just open yourself up to at least trying.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Yeah. And Tim, I think in so many people might use age or maybe their experience, or I also mentioned in the book, their responsibilities as, you know, like a dimmer on their dreams. So the things that people say to me is like, well, yeah, like I'm 56 and so I'm almost near retirement. You know, I don't really need to keep dreaming, you know, or they'll say, you know, I'm just 21 and you know, there's no way that I could do that. Why would I even, you know, dream that big? Or I have a mother who really needs care and, you know, and maybe they kind of list all of these excuses. What we call them in sports psychology is like we self-handicap ourselves. We give ourselves excuses before, you know, before we even go out and perform or seek it, right? And so I think that's important, is that we just notice that. And yes, those are all limitations maybe that we have to do with, right? Like we might have a mother who needs care or a father who needs care or two young kids, but that doesn't mean that we can't care for ourselves and really dream big about what we want and be patient with that as well.
So we've kind of gone out of the order of how I had things. But, you know, one of the things is you give examples, you do this in most chapters, maybe all of them. I don't want to sell you short. We're only in chapter 4. But one of the examples you used this week was you did the story, which I had been familiar with, but the comedian Jim Carrey. And it's kind of a famous story. I don't know if anybody's heard it recently. Maybe some people have missed this whole thing. But at one point in his life, he had done a stand-up show where he got $100. And he went into his checkbook and he pulled out a check. This is back when people wrote checks. And he wrote himself a check for $10 million and future time stamped it. And then in his life, he got a movie, Dumb and Dumber, where he got $10 million. And the date of that check was almost exactly to the date he had written it out for him years earlier.
Yeah.
So where I'm going with this is vision. And you talk about vision. Why is setting a vision for yourself so important?
Well, I think in
having a vision.
Yeah, I think and being clear with your vision is really important. Being big with your vision is really important. I think the power of that story with Jim Carrey is, you know, he would go every single day and like look over Mulholland Drive and actually look out at what he wanted to do, and he would just kind of dream about his future. And so I think he engaged in his daily grit session, right? Well, every single day he was thinking about, where do I want to go? Why do I want to go there? And I think that's important for all of us to do, to keep us excited about what we're doing. And yeah, we're going to face obstacles, but he got really clear with what he wanted, and he wrote that down, which was powerful. And then he put it in his wallet, you know, so he could see it everywhere he went. You know, if it was going to get groceries or going to get gas, it was a visual reminder of his goals. And I think that's why that's powerful. I think we need a clear vision so we can make intentional decisions every day, and that we're really in the driver's seat of our lives. And then we also know what to say yes to and no to, right? And I've done a lot of work on my vision and my goals by the last maybe 10 years. just getting really, really clear on it. And now I know, yeah, when, you know, Tim says, hey, let's try this podcast. I'm like, yeah, okay, let's go. I know exactly what I want because I want to positively impact a million people, you know?
Yes.
And so when you know exactly what you want, you know to say, yep, okay, nope, that's maybe for somebody else. And you're able to really build the energy that you need.
So that's the inspiration part of this. And what I loved about the book and what I want to do with this podcast and my clear vision for this is there's actually a process
yes.
to getting a clear vision.
Mm-hmm.
How does someone get a clear vision? What does that process look like?
So I would say first, spend some time, maybe every day this week, spending some time, 5-10 minutes thinking about what is it that you want? And you could pick a vision, maybe like a 5 or a 10 or a 20 year vision. So you could, pick one of those dates, whatever sounds exciting to you, or maybe even a 1 year, whatever feels like it's energizing to you. And then just remember that your vision needs to be compelling. So it should make you want to jump out of bed every day, right? And the more clear you are with that vision, the more exciting that you're going to be. So we encouraged you a couple episodes ago to think about what you really, 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 really want.
Right.
And I think the key is today what we're going to say is like, write it down. And
write it down.
Dreaming big, write it down. Because, I think anybody who has ever left a mark in the world has really had a big, big dream. And it might take longer than you expect it, but you need to push yourself. And then when your automatic negative thoughts say, no, that's for me, I think that's when you have to say, nope, I'm going to write it down anyway. I'm going to go for it.
So I just asked this a moment ago, but I had written my talking points. Be detailed in your dreams. And I just think you kind of touched on that. If there's something else you want to do, please don't let me stop you from doing that. But one of the things I put in there too, you sort of referred to this, but maybe not directly, be ready for the inevitable pushback. Because if you're going to open yourself up and you're going to share your dream or your vision with somebody, if you're going to write it down and you're going to put it somewhere where you're going to see it, chances are someone else is going to see it too.
Yeah.
And inevitably someone else is going to see it, or you're going to be all fired up and you're going to share it with somebody.
Yes.
And they're going to say, that's a great idea.
Yes.
Except, and then they're going to start to do the crab bucket thing.
Yeah. When
you're climbing out of the crab bucket and here comes a claw and it's going to grab your leg and it's trying to pull you back. Because other people are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't let their fear hamper mm-hmm. your goals.
Absolutely. And just know that that's their fear. Not
that's theirs.
Fear. And what I try to do when I'm really going after something big, like I tell people about it because I feel like the more I say it out loud, the more I'm convinced that I can do it. But I remember this maybe happened about 6 years ago when I decided I wanted to work for the Minnesota Vikings. I wanted to do mental training for the Minnesota Vikings. And I would just, let's say in a 6-month time frame, I probably told 50 people about that dream. And there was a lot of people who said, they didn't say much. They looked at me like, okay, good luck with that. But some people were like, well, wow, that's going to be really hard. Right. And then a few people said, go for it. You got it. You got it, girl. You can do that. There was probably more people that reacted to me like, I don't know. Then it was like, go for it. But I still had to tell myself I could go for it. And it took a while to get in with the team. I've worked with the team for 4 years providing mental training. And so I think the key is, yeah, you're going to have naysayers. But what's more important is what you continue to believe about yourself and where your focus is than what everyone else has to say. Because it's more about them than it's about you.
No, I have to ask. Let's go off script here. Because you just brought up the Minnesota Vikings and you work with the Minnesota Vikings. Now, you don't work with all of the Vikings collectively, correct?
Yeah, just individual players.
They have the option to work with you.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm not going to say who you do and don't work with, but I'm saying, so you're sitting home watching a game.
Yes.
And one of the people you work with makes a play.
Yes.
Is it just like the best ever?
Yes.
It's got to be.
It is.
I mean, you're struggling right along there with them, aren't you?
Yeah, well, and that's the hard part, right? Like, I don't play the game. Their coaches don't play the game. And so I think it's also important that whoever we're helping support, we also don't get wrapped up in the outcome. So I used to get really, really, really excited, but then I would get really low when it didn't go so well. So now I try just to stay even keel, but I do get pretty excited sometimes.
Well, I tell you what, I needed you when I coached high school football, because I was with this football program at the time that was just like a juggernaut, just a machine. And over one period of time, we won like 70 some games and lost like four. And, you know, I could tell you like about the four losses in greater detail than I could 67 of the 70 wins.
Yeah. Well, that has to do with our negativity bias. There's some research that we store negative experiences stronger than positive ones. So
you always say, what else could I have done? You know, what could I have done to get them better? You know, whatever it is. So yeah that's an interesting that's another chapter we can write. That's going to be a future one we'll do together. All right. So homework for this week, did you already touch on it?
Well, I touched on it a little bit. And so the homework what I'd like you to do is choose a date 5, 10, 20 years from now and spend time every day this week thinking about what is your vision. Just, you know, ask yourself questions like, what does your vision look like? Who are you? How are you doing? What have you accomplished? How are you feeling? And that vision could be about your career. It could be about sport. It could be about finances. And then I'll give you a structure. So this is something that I talk about in the workbook. So if you're following along with the workbook, you can pull this out in the exercise right at the beginning called the first exercise in the workbook. And it's like on blank, and then you write the date. I will feel blank and I will have accomplished blank. And you could add more blanks to that, but it's just, you know, I write the date on blank, I will feel and I will have accomplished blank. And this applies to not only athletes and coaches who are listening, but all of us professionals, parents who are just trying to be the best that we can be every day.
Executives. Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So I've got the homework and I'm going to do the homework. Drum roll, please. Time for a gritty people of the week. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I will go first this time.
Please.
And usually I pick somebody that inspires me throughout my week. And the people that I'm going to pick is, Tim, this week I spent like 3 full days at Consolidated Communication, right, with their executive team, their leaders. And 9 to 4, we had people from engineering, from marketing, from sales, from operations, so people from like all walks, you know, all areas within the organization. And they all did amazing work. Like they wrote their 25 year goals. They wrote down their vision statement. They wrote their purpose statement, got really clear on that. They better understood their values and where they were operating from so they could be an intentional leader. And I think they're incredibly gritty because they were all in it, and it didn't matter if they, you know, were used to this kind of development, but they really stayed passionate about what they're doing. And I think this content can not only transform organizations, but I just heard today when I was in Egan, like it transforms teams, right? And coach has given me an example of a high school team who's been using this and transform their team and their community. So Consolidated Communication Executive Leadership, they're my gritty person of the week.
Congratulations. That's awesome. And I can't imagine how happy, gratified you must feel when you see them take your work and apply it and the results they get, and the high school part of it, or with any other team, when you leave and you've got to just be walking on air when you hear something like that.
It makes me realize I got to keep on doing more of this work, you know? But then there's things that make you humble. Like yesterday, my 2-year-old, or not my 2-year-old, I guess he's 10. I don't know why I said he was 2, but I don't, because I told him, you know,
Floyd would have something to say about that, I think.
Yeah, you might blame me. You call me a 2-year-old. But we were sitting at dinner and I said, yeah, all these people like flew in to hear me speak, and, you know, all from all over the United States, like New Hampshire and Texas and California. And Blake says, Mom, I wouldn't even drive 2 hours to hear you speak. Okay.
Hey, thanks. All right. So for me, if you're seeing the video portion of this, obviously there's an audio portion, but there's a video portion you can get on YouTube as well. And I have this little sign over my shoulder on a board. And every week I change it a little bit and I add it in there in red, Win Twins, because as we're doing this in real time, the Twins have just wrapped up the American League Central Division Championship. And I've been watching this team since probably consciously about 1968. And some years didn't hardly watch them at all because it was just hard to watch the product. People asked me going into this season, what do you think about this year's team? And I said freely, I've never gone into a Twins season feeling like I knew less about a team than I do about this year's team. And started to watch them from the first series against Cleveland in the cold, and they took 2 out of 3, and I was kind of like, well, that was encouraging. And then they went on this crazy home run spree where they were just like, well, this can't keep up. And then they got up by 11.5 games, and then I knew statistically the odds of them losing it at this point were almost nil. They were going to like go to the playoffs. And then the lead started to disappear. And then here comes Cleveland, and all this weird stuff starts happening to the Twins. Byron Buxton comes and goes, pitchers come and go, different guys get hurt, and the lead goes away. And we're out of first place by a half game, and then we're back in first place. And then we never lose first place again. That, to me, is grit. You know, to have so many different players step up at different times and deliver in different situations. So you can think about this in terms of, well, who's the most valuable player of the team? And I have an opinion on that. And I actually wrote a piece, which you can find on the NSC Beyond the Bench page on that subject. But it really was a team effort. I mean, they just could not have done it without contributions from almost every player that we saw at one point or another during this remarkable season. And I'm in no hurry for this thing to be over anytime soon. And the best part is, to me, is I think they're going to be better next year because they're going to have more money to deal with in the off season to build a better pitching staff. But we got to get you over to the Twins. I mean, because I,
let's
Dave
go.
St. Peter, are you listening? Get this to Dave St. Peter, because man, I just, hats off to Rocco Baldelli, to Derek Falvey and Tad Levine for the job that they did putting together this team, and obviously all the players on the 40-man roster who got this team to where they are. And that's my gritty people of the week, or your Central Division champion Minnesota Twins. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Well, that's about it, unless you've got something else you want to add. It's your show.
I'm excited for everybody who's listening, and thank you so much for tuning in each week. We're pumped that you're here. And so I just want to celebrate you for listening and being excited about just developing yourself and being the best version of yourself, because that's really what this is about, Tim.
Well, and you know, you said something to me earlier, and I just want to throw it back your way. I read your book, and while I was reading the book, I was on an airplane, and I just wanted to like grab the person next to me and shake them and go, "Have you read this book? This is the greatest book ever." And I don't know if people, we said this publicly, I know I've said this to you, but I sent Cinder a message because she asked you to do that, and I didn't hear anything back for like months. And I thought, oh, maybe she's just too busy, or maybe she doesn't think I'm a loser, or maybe she thinks I'm weird, or whatever it is. And she sends this thing back saying, I usually don't go on that platform, but nice, thank you, and whatever. And I went back and said, I'd like to talk to you about working together. And she was like, yeah, I'd like to talk to you too. What would that look like? And here we are. And people ask me when I let people know about this, they're like, you know, well, why aren't you doing, like, you should write your own book. And I said, you know what, maybe I will write my own book someday, but I couldn't have written this book. And this book is just not a self-help book. This book is a functioning, living, breathing tool. And I just know that the more people who get this content, the better off they will be. I believe in you. I believe in this book. I am a brand ambassador for your book. I'm trying to embody it, and I'm thrilled to be on this podcast with you. And I think that if people just give this an opportunity, there's no telling the benefits that they'll get. And I am proud to be associated with you, and I am thankful for the opportunity. How about that?
I am thankful. I'm grateful for you, Tim, and I'm grateful for everyone who's listening, and continuing to kind of dream big and really do things that are just a little bit scary, right? And dream in a little bit outside your comfort zone so you can really reach your best. And if everyone in the world is doing that, Tim, this world would be a better place.
Amen. All right. So we want to thank you for joining us. Beyond Grit Podcast seeks to help you reach your peak potential. We want you to check this out and other great content that you can find on the NSC National Sports Center blog page, Beyond the Bench, where you can leave us your questions and comments. Now, please do that. Because if you want to ask Dr. Kampoff anything directly, that's how we'll try to relay those messages, incorporate that into future podcasts. And with that, Dr. Kampoff, want to sign off?
Stay gritty.
Stay gritty, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for engaging with the Beyond Grit podcast, where we help you reach your peak potential. You can find past episodes and other great content on the NSE blog page, Beyond the Bench, where you can also post your questions and comments. The Beyond Grit podcast is a production of the National Sports Center and Beyond the Bench.